Step right up and place your bets, kiddos. Today, the NBA does MLB a favor and reminds us that sports gambling is bigger than baseball and affects athletes across all professional leagues. Plus, the NFL has a new dance to teach us for kickoffs and how those will work. And let me explain something. When Jaromir Jagr is in the news, Jaromir Jagr's glorious Czech mullet will be on this program. Let's go around the horn.
Yeah.
To make sure, kiddos, that you're of legal gambling age.
Like about 3 weeks.
What number did Jaromir Jagr wear? Points if you know it.
66. 68.
Wrong. 68. We had questions, there were no answers, but there was a statement. Yesterday in Los Angeles, Shohei Ohtani spoke to reporters with the help of his new interpreter, Will Ireton. The previous person in that employ, Ipe Mizuhara, is accused of stealing millions of dollars from the Dodgers two-way star, a situation that triggered a federal investigation into Mizuhara's involvement with the California bookmaker. Ohtani says he was robbed and lied to.
Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf.
Major League Baseball has opened an investigation, and last night at Chavez Ravine, the man from Japan went 0 for 2 with a walk in a loss against his former team, the Halos. Tim, you've seen a lot of baseball in your life. Where are you with this story right now, and what do you believe?
I've seen a lot of baseball, Clinton. I've been around a few gambling stories. I do not think this will turn into Pete Rose and the Dowd Report, and we'll be talking about his bets for years as it keeps him out of the Hall of Fame for another decade or so. But first, I'm uncomfortable anytime there's a press conference and there's no questions allowed. That leads to a little bit of skepticism. I don't doubt Ohtani at his word. I have no reason to have – I have no knowledge of what he was doing. I do know that this is, regardless, a horrible day and a horrible way for Major League Baseball season to start. Your feature guy on your feature brand, at least the West Coast version of the Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and all the great things he might do there for the next decade. And for a while, we're going to be talking about whether or not he gambled and bet, and if he didn't, how he lost so many millions of dollars. That's an awful way to start.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, maybe I'm naive here. I also believe Ohtani. Even, you know, so far they've shown that none of the bets were about baseball itself. So it seems like he's in a safe zone. I'm not one who is going to, you know, sort of hand wring over the betting, especially when we have a culture that we have now where people, before they listen to this show, probably listen to podcasts about this topic that were sponsored by FanDuel and all that other stuff. This is just part of the ecosystem that we have. But I agree with Tim here that this is a bad look for baseball. Baseball is still not recovered from the Pete Rose thing that is always hovering over the sport, and now the biggest star that you've had in a very long time is just shrouded in this controversy that's totally avoidable. We are not talking about what's happening on the field. Social media is going to be all about gambling jokes and betting jokes whenever Ohtani does anything, and we should be talking about a transcendent player and what he's doing on the field.
Is it Gutierrez?
Yeah, the lack of taking questions here, I agree with Tim, is the biggest problem because it leaves us effectively just guessing, listening to the stories that were told, talking about the interview that was then disavowed, and hey, that interview was not true. And we're basically saying, hey, which one of these two stories, as the only two options, is the most believable? And to me, if you look at it, I know a lot of people say, hey, Ohtani, how could he not know that this money was coming out of his account? Which one is more believable? That his interpreter, who is in charge of all of his things, a lot of his things, found a way to get access to his account and use some of his money to settle his gambling debts, or that Shohei Ohtani himself has a gambling issue, and that despite the fact he's lived in California for 6 years and knows it's not legal there, that he would then make these payments out of his own account and then choose to ruin the life of his interpreter by blaming him. I don't believe that you go through that level of cover-up. I believe that there are probably some holes there, but the question is, for Major League Baseball, what did Ohtani know, if anything, and what can he be punished for, if anything? And I think those two questions we're far from answering.
It doesn't help when Pete Rose himself is making actual comments on the internet about the matter. Frank Isola.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ohtani lawyered up after his interpreter granted the interview to ESPN and said, yes, Shohei wired money to pay off my gambling debts. Then the story comes out, no, that didn't happen. The money was stolen. And if you want to believe Shohei Ohtani, and in this case, I think a lot of us do because he seems like a good guy and he's obviously a great player, it might be an example of him trying to cover up for his buddy, then realizing the trouble that he could get in. Then he comes out and says, well, hang on a second. This money was stolen. And it's easy to sit there and say, well, how do you not know about $4.5 million missing? If $100 missing from my bank account, I start asking questions. But we do know this. You look at guys in the entertainment world, look at, you know, guys in sports like Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan. They've had millions stolen from them. So people that make the crazy money that are young and naive, this does happen. And I think in this case, it could have happened to Shohei Ohtani.
Last word, Izzy Gutierrez.
Here's the thing, Clinton. If they are deciding to go with lies, this is a federal investigation going on into this gambler and this person. And so the idea that they're going to commit to this level of deception, I find very hard to believe.
It's a tough situation. Yeah. And whether or not you believe Ohtani, I said this yesterday, to me is kind of beside the point. As I look at this, it's just a matter of, again, you can't have this. It's sloppy. It's embarrassing for everybody involved. And that's the unfortunate part about it. It feels like a lot of goodwill has been lost for somebody that a lot of people really wanted to like. Let's move on. Nobody would blame you if you had never heard of Jontay Porter, the undrafted Toronto Raptors front court man who played at Missouri. And fun fact, he's the Nuggets Michael Porter Jr.'s younger brother, is now at the center of, yes, another gambling scandal, this time involving prop bets on Porter in games this season. On at least two occasions, big bets on the Jontay Porter unders resulted in wins when he left both games early due to injury or illness. He's now under investigation by the NBA. One word, yikes. Frank, we hate to see it, but what do you make of the NBA being the latest league to have to deal with this mess?
This is a major, major issue. And let's remember January 26th, more money was put on his prop bet, and he left the game with a pre-existing injury, which was an eye injury. And the one that really raised the red flag, March 20th, it happened again, where he left the game this time with an illness. And think about it. This isn't a guy, I understand his brother makes a lot of money, but he's not making the crazy money. He's had injuries throughout his career. He's a fringe NBA player making about $400,000, perhaps looking to make a quick buck. And let's face it. You know these gambling sites, red flags go all up all over the place for something like this. The NBA has a big-time issue on his hands, and I have a bad feeling it's not going to end right here.
Is he?
I don't know how big the issue is, Frank, okay? Because part of the agreement as a professional athlete, it's always been whether these gambling has been legal or illegal in all 50 states or legal in most of them, the agreement has always been, hey, you play the game legitimately. You do not include any of that stuff into the game. We can't question the game. Now it makes it a lot easier to make these types of bets on player props, but you could always try to fix a game, right? I think you can justify it if you're a player like Porter here, justify it in your mind saying, I'm not trying to fix the game. I'm trying to make a couple bucks for some people by affecting my numbers and then eliminating myself from the conversation. That, to me, is not the same as fixing games. And when you talk about the level of player that would be willing to do this, I don't think you're talking about, you know, dozens of minor players. You are going to have a few cases like this, but they're going to be exposed. You expose these things when you legalize it and have it sort of in this situation. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem. I think it's going to make people, players, fear to do certain situations like this, especially because it feels like Porter is going to be made a huge example.
Hold on, Izzy, are you saying that you don't really have an issue with this, or you just don't think this is rising to the level of something the NBA needs to
crack down? Not saying I don't have an issue with it. I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be a grander issue. I don't think it's going to be on the scale of, hey, there are players in every locker room making these bets and taking themselves out of games and manipulating games. No, I don't think that is the greater issue, because I think in situations like this, they will get exposed. There's only so much money you can put on those. When you start putting a lot of money in these situations, they get exposed. So I don't think it's going to be a similar problem going forward.
David Dennis Jr.
I happen to think this is a huge crisis for the NBA, and the players and coaches themselves are raising the flag about this. You had the coach in Cleveland talk about getting threats over this. You had Halliburton talking about how he feels like a prop in these situations at the same time where League Pass is rolling out, where if I watch the game on the app, I can put bets all as I'm doing that come straight out of my account. There is no reason that you should be able to make a prop bet on somebody who's making $400,000, who has, you know, minimal impact on the game, where he can just go out there and do whatever he wants to do to make people money. That, for even making $400,000, these are huge $20,000, $30,000 bets that are a huge percentage of the money that he is making. So there is a risk reward to this. And either NBA is lucky that he got caught because these were such big bets. These were such egregious moves. But if you're playing garbage time for 5 minutes in the fourth quarter and you want to get just two rebounds and your buddy wants to bet the under, there's no way the NBA can regulate this. They have to figure this out immediately.
Tim Kalishaw, how do you see this?
I would say, first of all, if you find yourself on your phone late at night laying thousands of dollars on the under on Jonte Porter's rebounds and you don't have inside information, you might want to call one of those 1-800 numbers. Second, I would agree with the panelists who contend this is a real problem. The whole idea of fixing games, one player being able to do it, that's hard. Even if you're a good player, you might get benched, you might get in foul trouble. But one player can control his own points and rebounds and assists, especially if it's a marginal player. Those bets do, to me, speak of a high risk of different kinds of involvement. You see guys taking rebounds away from a teammate, and you're wondering exactly what's going on out there. There could be a lot of things involved. I think those prop bets for individual players who come off the bench, those we might have to do away with those at some point.
Frank, last word.
Fixable problem.
And let's remember, those prop bets, it was the under, and the most money was placed of any player that day on Porter. One thing about what David said, in the last 2 weeks, you've had Rudy Gobert say that gambling's a problem, Tyrese Haliburton, J.B. Bickerstaff. If you're Adam Silver and these allegations turn out to be true, you have to dish out some harsh punishment. I would think at least a year suspension, if not a ban from the NBA.
Okay.
If you want to send a message.
That's our horn. Let's see who's in the lead here. David Dennis Jr. I'll tell you one thing. I don't gamble. You know why? I like money too much. Buy ourselves next.
You can bet on me right now.
I had Izzy winning.
That's a gamble all the time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
To Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
In her last game ever in front of the home crowd in Iowa City, Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes held off West Virginia to advance to the Sweet 16. On the West Coast, Juju Watkins' incredible freshman year continued with the Trojans banging Kansas out. I just want to quote ESPN's Charlie Cream for this incredible line. The last time USC was in the Sweet 16, Juju Watkins wasn't born yet, but she has certainly given rebirth to the program, end quote. Also, Paige Beckers reminded everyone why her nickname is Buckets as UConn got past Syracuse. Israel, what stood out to you last night?
Well, a couple things. One, and it's not really a surprise, basically ever since the foot injury, UConn hasn't been very deep, but their lack of depth was pretty jarring yesterday. Paige Beckers basically has to attempt to get a triple-double every game to beat good opponents. But with Caitlin Clark and Iowa in the same vein, though, that supporting cast of hers is going to have to be better if they want to win a national championship. Yes, Hannah Stuckey had a double-double, but she had four turnovers, didn't really handle the ball well, 0 points from the bench. They're going to have to support Caitlin a lot better if they want to go further this
Frank Isola.
Give West Virginia a lot of credit. They made everything hard for Caitlin Clark. That's going to be the strategy throughout this tournament. One other thing, too. I think the women's tournament has reached a point. Enough of playing these home games for Iowa, South Carolina, USC, Connecticut. You know, move it to a neutral site. West Virginia had everything going against them in the fourth quarter, including the referees. Plus, they're playing on the road. I think they should try to even that out a little bit.
Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, it does make you wonder how that game might have gone at a neutral site. I was a little surprised Caitlin Clark couldn't really get shots off other than to get fouled in that fourth quarter when it got tough. But on the good side, Paige Beckers, who 3 years ago we thought was going to be the next superstar, and serious injuries kept that from happening. She's back, and that's exciting to see.
David Dennis.
Oh, we're kind of speaking around the thing. Let's be direct here. West Virginia got hosed by those refs last night, 30-5 free throw deficit. Iowa had one field goal made in that fourth quarter and 14 free throws made in that fourth quarter. That's where points came from. West Virginia deserved better last night. But on the positive side, USC and Juju looked unstoppable, looked almost just as good as the other USC. She was 28-10-5, first time that's happened since 2000. They are steamrolling teams, too.
Juju Watkins, superstar already. Moving right along, more rule changes for the NFL. This time, kickoffs. The most dangerous play in the leg is now changed, and they're taking advice from the XFL. What a world. Short version, no one can move until either the ground or a player touches the football. The idea is to minimize collisions and force kickoffs to be an actual play again. You're seeing examples of it here. And now, we have a new term to chew on, setup zone. Tim, are you buying or selling this new setup?
This is one of the toughest purchases I've ever made, Clinton. I'm going to buy it. I think it looks really tricked up, and I'm not sure it's going to work. And maybe somebody's going to figure out a way to round it, kick it out into the corner and make it exciting. But, gosh, it just looks like a goofy play. But the NFL's had to resort to it because there's nothing more boring than touchbacks.
Totally agree. David Dennis.
I'm selling the complicated nature of this. I can't wait to explain to somebody about a hip drop tackle, 15-yard penalty, in a neutral safe zone on a kickout, trying to explain what's going on by week one. When these things get complicated, it gets tough for players. Somebody's going to screw this up terribly, and it's going to cost a team a game in the first 3 weeks of the season, and you do not want that to happen.
Is he?
I love the idea of somebody who gave up on the NFL since the Colin Kaepernick situation coming back for the opening kickoff next year, saying, I'm going to give it a chance, and was like, what is this nonsense? Get out of here, NFL. Look, I kind of like it. It's something new. If you have to continue tweaking it year after year, just get rid of it now, okay? But if it works this season and there's nothing you have to do to change it, cool, just implement it. But it's a less extreme situation to get rid of it altogether than to put all these little gimmicky rules in.
Frank Isola, setup man.
I'm all for it because it's for player safety, number one. And there'll be a smart coach out there. It'll probably start with Andy Reid that will come up with a terrific trick play on that kickoff that'll work. And some of them go untouched for about 90 yards.
All right. Buy or sell number three, fallout from the Patriots Dynasty documentary series. Former Pats players have been vocal, said they felt duped about the finished product and that their perceived slants against Bill Belichick throughout the 10-part series were obvious. When asked about it, Pats owner Bob Kraft said he was disappointed in the negativity throughout the series, but did not address specific questions about the Belichick portrayal. While Kraft is not a producer for the Apple TV docuseries, the show used Patriots archival footage shared by Kraft. His close personal friendship with producer Brian Grazer is well documented. David, buy or sell.
I can't sell. I can't even know what to begin to sell here. He talked about how much he hated the documentary. They asked him specifically about Belichick's portrayal, and he deflected to something else that had nothing to do with it, talking about putting him in the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. But the part about his presser that I love the most wasn't related to the documentary when he talked about Calvin Ridley. He said, we did everything we could except his girlfriend liked the South, and we couldn't do anything about it. Also, the quarterback situation may have had something to do with it. But next question. That was also a ridiculous answer.
South got something to say. Is he?
I watched every episode of this doc, and Robert Kraft did not for a second look unhappy to offer a bunch of negative things about Bill Belichick. He continuously threw him under the bus. And if I'm Bill Belichick, there's two situations I'm not very happy about. I was portrayed to have coddled Aaron Hernandez throughout his whole situation, and that the Malcolm Butler decision was perceived as Bill Belichick making a personal decision to not play Malcolm Butler. That question still hasn't been answered. But no, Robert Kraft feeling bad for Bill Belichick, that's not a thing.
Frank Isola.
Shocking news. Robert Kraft wants credit. If you go back to the first episode of The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, he says, without Scottie Pippen, there couldn't be a Michael Jordan. What does Scottie Pippen only remember? That they showed the game where he refused to enter the game. That's part of the story. I get it. These things are part documentary, part infomercial. If you want to watch a good sports documentary, go rewatch Made in America, the O.J. Simpson one. That tells both sides of the story. That was not an infomercial.
Tim Kalishaw.
Not really about sports.
Yeah, I just have a problem with the idea they didn't do enough on the Super Bowls. We've seen the six Super Bowl wins. We've talked about them for 20 years. If you're going to do a documentary, you're going to focus on some behind-the-scenes stuff. And as others have said, Bob Kraft is not the guy you watch on this that comes out as the villain. That would be Bill Belichick.
All right. Well, if others have said it, Tim, I guess we don't need you here, do we? Gotta go.
Yeah, really knows.
Tim, gone. Izzy, gone. Alas, no Florida Panthers talk today. David Dennis Jr., Frank Isola, coming up. Ooh. Call a showdown, kiddos.
It'll be a documentary on it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A night of bad NBA losses, in quotes. Celtics blowing a 30-point lead to the Hawks. Jason Tatum, quote, we effed the game up, and we know that. Jaylen Brown, quote, we just took our foot off the gas. In the West, the Suns losing to the Wemby-free Spurs. Brad Beal, quote, we came in here late and egg. Frank Vogel, quote, just unacceptable. David, which of these losses was, in fact, the most unacceptable?
So the Celtics loss was an ugly loss and a concerning trend, but the Suns had to win this game. This game kicks you out of the playoff tournament. Now you're below the Mavericks. You have to win that game.
Right.
Earlier this month, the Celtics blew a 22-point fourth quarter lead to Cleveland. Last night, a 30-point game. In the Cleveland game, Jason Tatum, a 19 dribble possession. Last night, Jaylen Brown, 23 dribbles before taking a bad shot. Not good.
Celtics are good. Suns to be determined. Moving right along. Finally, the resolution to our long international nightmare. The Penguins have located and secured the shipment of the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. No word if Liam Neeson was called in. The missing recovered loot will be distributed to fans in early April. We call this a Lufthansa heist situation in the business. Frank, all good now or no?
Yeah, I live in the capital where things just happen to fall off trucks. I'm not buying this story. I think it was all hype. I will say this. Jaromir Jagr once gave his bed away when he was moving to a buddy of mine. He said, here, take the bed. I don't want it anymore. Not bad.
David?
I have no bed stories about Jaromir Jagr, but I have been listening to Aaron Rodgers' podcast, and I have a conspiracy theory about this. This is to drive up the bobblehead market. That's what all this was, about the fuss about bobbleheads. No, this was all a scam.
I do not need to know about number 68's proclivities with beds. David Dennis, take the face
down. Big bed.
This morning, I read an incredible article that happens to be on Anscape, that happens to be by our fantastic host, Clinton Yates, about Ron Washington, who's been in the Major League Baseball 6 decades, current Angels manager. He has been part of at least 11% of all black players in Major League Baseball history. Every black baseball player has ever been in the All-Star game has been tied to him. Just an incredible legacy. The video of him seeing all the people that he's impacted is something you have to see. Just an incredible video. Good job, Clinton Yates.
Thank you, David. That was honestly not pre-planned. I really do appreciate it. Let's see if Ron taught me anything about how I hit this. We're on a 23 and a half an hour break. Dang it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.